You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It was always going to be difficult, I think, for the Buccaneers and Patriots to live up to the hype last night. Tom Brady's return to Foxborough, one of the more anticipated regular season games in NFL history. And as I mentioned on Friday, don't expect a great game. You know, everybody, I think, looking at this game, leading up to this game, oh, this is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a shootout, and who knows what it's going to be. But I said, don't be surprised if it's not a great game, because so much hype leading up to this. And the Patriots right now aren't a very good team. And the Buccaneers are banged up. The night wasn't helped out by the weather, but it did have a dramatic finish there. It rained all night in New England. Brady didn't look like himself, but he did come away with the win. Patriots actually had a chance to go ahead in the final minute, missed a long field goal attempt. I didn't understand the call, because if you said 4th and 3 and Tom Brady's your quarterback, you're going to go for it. Instead, with Mac Jones, who was playing well and at one point completed 19 consecutive passes, I would have gone for it on 4th and 3, because there's two reasons why. First of all, Nick Folk is not a long field goal kicker. You have the weather to factor in, a little bit of wind there. It's a long, long field goal for anybody, including Justin Tucker. Second of all, what better way to say to Mac Jones, you're our guy. We think you can win this game. We're going to give you that chance at 4th and 3. Here's the other thing. I can take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. If I keep the ball and we get in better field goal range, now I've taken away clock. You know, there's 59 seconds to go. Let's say you make that field goal. So now you've given Tom Brady 55 seconds and 2 timeouts to get 3 points. I don't like those odds. If it's 4th and 3, and we go for it, we don't get it, it's okay. We've shown our quarterback we have confidence in him. Instead of, we're going to have a long field goal and still give Tom the ball back. It just didn't make any sense. Everybody wants to talk about the post-game hug. All right, they did have a hug. They did meet afterwards. We'll talk to Peter King about this. This is about winning the game. This is about managing the game. And I thought Bill Belichick let this one get away. I thought he whiffed on this one. Because I would have said to Mac Jones, all right, we're going to devise something here. I don't want Tom to get the ball back. And Belichick had to be thinking about that. Even if Nick Folk makes it, you still have Brady with a minute to go and a couple of timeouts. All you have to do is get 4 yards. That's it. And yes, is the defense going to be up and, you know, take away anything, you know, these little dink and dunk passes? Yes, but devise something here. I was surprised at that, because you know, if Tom Brady was the quarterback, Tom Brady would have lobbied for it. Let me go for it. Mac Jones doesn't have, you know, that kind of clout. He doesn't have that kind of power, but he showed me a lot. He outplayed Brady. He played better. Brady wasn't helped out by, you know, Antonio Brown had a touchdown, dropped that. No Gronk in there. That Tampa defense, the back end, is all banged up. So much so, Richard Sherman was just added on Wednesday, and he looked like he was just added on Wednesday. I thought this was a miss by Bill Belichick, that you could have sent the message in a variety of ways. Hey, Tom, good luck in Tampa. We have our quarterback. Mac, go out there. Get the first down. Let's go. Let's go win this thing. Instead, and I said it in the moment, just so you know, even if you kick that 56-yarder, Brady still gets the ball back with a little less than a minute to go and 2 timeouts. I don't like that, even on a night like that. But it was interesting, at times entertaining. We got the post-game hug of sorts, and then Brady and Belichick reportedly met for around 20 to 30 minutes privately after the game, but we move on. It's week 4, and if you're the Buccaneers, you got to get that defense healthy. Gronk's going to be out for a while with a punctured lung. I was surprised New England couldn't run the football. at all. They had one rushing yard. Therefore, I mean, the defense knew Mac Jones was going to throw the ball, and he still was very accurate. And he got hit. He showed composure. If I'm a Patriot fan, I'd go, okay, I think we're okay at the quarterbacking position. I like what I saw. The defense played pretty well. You know, it's just a couple of plays here and there, but that's the difference. It's weird, you know, with this moral victory stuff, because if it's a younger team, an inexperienced team, then you can say, okay, that could be a moral victory. The Patriots, that's not their approach. Bill Belichick is not going to say, hey, got a moral victory last night. I think the Buccaneers may feel like, that doesn't feel like a win. It just feels like we didn't lose that game. And there's some issues there. But everybody, of course, wanted to talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And here is Coach Belichick after the game.
You coached Tom Brady in practice for 20 years, but this is the first time you went ahead against him in a game. What was the experience like going?
We went against Tom Brady every day in practice defensively. So it's not like we've never seen Tom Brady before.
Was the experience of coaching against him in a game any different?
Yeah, they're a good football team. He's a great quarterback. I mean, I think that's all goes without saying.
All righty. It's been a long, long week. A lot of questions. He's soaked. He's like, it's, you know, midnight. I'm going to get out of here. I'm tired of answering questions.
High schoolers are asking him stuff.
Yeah. And let me hear that again.
You coached Tom Brady in practice for 20 years, but this is the first time you went ahead against him in a game. What was the experience like going?
We went against
him. Yes, Jake in L.A. Yes. Yeah.
You coached Tom.
What happened on that fourth down play?
The Oracle.
Yeah, Oracle. You got one for me?
Yeah. Yeah, Oracle. It reminds me of the kid who came out too early and went to SportsCenter.
James K. Polk.
James K. Polk. It's like, what happened? He just came out too early. Came out too early. All right, what kind of poll question you got for me, McLevin?
By the way, is that right of a coach to say we coach against him every week? Like, obviously, it makes it feel like Belichick was coaching the defense and never liked Tom. But anyway, who felt like the winner last night? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, or NBC? The biggest winner.
NBC?
I don't know. Paul threw that one in there.
I bet that rating is top three all time.
Yeah.
The first quarter rating.
Mm.
Maybe not the second and third.
All right. I'd say Mac Jones was the big winner last night. National stage, Tom Brady. You know, you got a guy mid-first round. I'd say Mac Jones won the night. Yes, Todd.
But Brady got it with the love and the cheering when he ran out there, and he still got the hugs from Belichick and everything, got that embrace, and came away with the win. And now I think he only needs to beat the Seahawks in Seattle to take care of beating every single team, not only every team, but also on the road as well.
Yeah. I don't know if Tom, I think Tom probably just wants to exhale. I don't think he felt like, boy, I'm a winner. They survived. I think Mac Jones has to feel like, you know what, privately, I can play. I mean, I went toe-to-toe. It's still a pretty good defense that he went against. But Brady, you know, he completes that touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, then there's a different feel to this game. But Brady had some things to say. He talked about on being back in New England.
I try not to predict what was going to happen and how I'd feel, and had a few emotional moments this week just thinking about all the people that have really meant so much to me in my life that are a part of this community. Just very grateful for, you know, amazing time here. And like I said, my football journey took me somewhere else, but I'm really enjoying that. And 3-1 against a really good football team tonight's what we wanted to get.
And he also spoke on his relationship with Bill Belichick.
We've had a personal relationship, you know, for 20-plus years. So he drafted me here and had a lot of personal conversations that should remain that way, and they're very private. And I would say so much is made of our relationship. And, you know, as I said earlier this week, you know, from a player standpoint, you just expect the coach to give you everything he's got. And I'm sure as a player, that's what he was hoping for me. But nothing's really accurate that I ever see. You know, definitely doesn't come from my personal feelings or beliefs. And I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and obviously a lot of respect for this organization and, you know, all the different people here that try to make it successful.
This program brought to you by Panini America, the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect all of them. Panini trading cards for instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, the hottest rookie cards. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. NFL undefeated teams. You got the Cardinals and you got the Raiders. Raiders got the game tonight against the Chargers. Who would have thought that the Cardinals would be all alone in the NFC? That was a big win. You go into L.A. Now, we said on Friday I wasn't going to be surprised if the Cardinals won that game. I picked the Patriots to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I wasn't surprised with either one of those outcomes. I think I was more surprised that the Cardinals handled the Rams. But the Rams coming off the emotional win, and then you play this game, although that's, you know, in your division. The Raiders play tonight against the Chargers. A couple of surprises. I was surprised, obviously, with the Giants in New Orleans. The Jets at home against the Titans. The Titans allowed the Jets to hang in there. They dominated time of possession. Then you look up and you go, you better score a touchdown here. And the Jets, you could almost see the confidence level. Defensively, they hung in there. And Zach Wilson had a couple of nice throws. And look good at times. Watching the Steelers against the Packers, I can put this on Ben Roethlisberger, but it's not fair to do that. I don't think he has any time. He's throwing these little passes. They got issues. And we talked about this going into the draft. I was surprised they brought Ben back. On record is saying that. I wouldn't have brought him back because I just don't think he can be great again. Maybe not even very good again. Maybe have moments, but I just don't think that team right now is built for him, and that's where I was surprised they didn't take a quarterback in the draft. Now, here is Ben, who's 2 years older than Aaron Rodgers. They don't look like they play the same position. Rodgers still makes it look effortless. Pittsburgh tried to hang in there, make some plays defensively. I thought that the field goal attempt at the end of the first half, I thought that was a wrong call. I didn't think the Steelers were offsides. I thought Minkah Fitzpatrick did a wonderful job in timing that. Packers did a poor job in blocking. There were two guys coming, and there was one guy blocking, and you let the guy inside, and Minkah Fitzpatrick makes a great play. I think that was the wrong call. But Green Bay was still the better team yesterday. I'm trying to think. Minnesota, I was watching Minnesota, and you're still trying to figure out who Minnesota is, how good they are, if they're good at all. Buffalo look really, really good, but they're playing against the Texans. Here's something to keep an eye on right now, and that is the Miami Dolphins lost again. I think this week might be a lot of questions for Brian Flores about Deshaun Watson. You don't have Tua there, but you have Jacoby Brissett playing against a Colts team that's all banged up. Colts don't have their best offensive lineman. Carson Wentz on two bad ankles, and you're at home, and you can't beat the team that you used to play for? I was really surprised at that. I would keep an eye on what happens with Miami and the questions that are asked if they're in the market for Deshaun Watson. Not that Brian Flores is going to say anything. He's going to say, we have our quarterbacks here. This is about ownership. But you lost again. This is about ownership. And this is a division where you should still get 10 wins. You should be a playoff caliber team. Those are the things, you know, that I'm keeping an eye on. You know, the Chargers with the Raiders tonight, I mean, that's a big game for both of these teams. Because it feels like Kansas City is vulnerable. I watched most of that game with the Eagles. And even though Mahomes was great, they allow teams to stay in. Now, that was one of those games where they won by double digits. It's been rare that they've been able to do that. And that's an Eagles team that's not very good. But Philadelphia stayed with them. Kansas City allows you to stay with them. And if you're the Raiders, you're the Chargers, you have to – Chargers have already beaten them. You have to feel like, you know what? The AFC West is still up for grabs here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. College football, Alabama rolled over Ole Miss. Horrible, horrible loss for Oregon. Notre Dame at home against Cincinnati, not surprised at all. That Cincinnati defense is really good, really fast, and you got a quarterback who can make some plays. But, you know, there are a lot of things to recap. A wild baseball Sunday. Playoffs are set. Monday Night Football, Raiders and Chargers. The Dodgers, you know, I mean, you have 106 wins. And I know, Dodger fans, you want to complain about this, but you got to complain before it happens. You know, when you're losing, then you want to complain. When you're winning, you'd have no problem with the wild card format. But that's a lot of wins to be playing in a winner-take-all one game. It doesn't seem fair. I don't like it, but you can't complain about it after the fact. You know, Major League Baseball, I still think, should look at rewarding these teams that play well and the seeding or reseeding. I really believe that. But, hey, who am I to question Major League Baseball? Oh, that's right. I should question Major League Baseball. There's a lot of reasons to. We'll come back. We'll settle on a poll question. We'll talk to Peter King. Peter was in Foxborough last night. We'll get some of the details from him when we return. 18 after the hour this Monday, first hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. McLevin, do you have a poll question before we get to Peter King?
We started out with who's the biggest winner from last night? Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and we threw NBC in just to be friendly.
Yeah, but I take NBC out.
Okay, we'll take NBC out.
I mean, they're going to get a big rating, but they get a big rating every Sunday night.
That's true. I'm curious to see if this will be like the biggest or something like that.
Well, I'm curious, if, you know, as far as biggest regular season games, audience-wise, if you take out Thanksgiving, where this is going to rank. Let's bring in Peter King, Football Morning in America, must-read column for any football fan, and also contributor to NBCSports.com. Pete, thanks for joining us. How would you best describe the atmosphere last night?
Surprisingly 100% loving. I thought the fans did a fabulous job in, you know, I was down on the field, Dan, it started raining very lightly at 7:29 in Foxborough. At 7:30, Tom Brady walked out to a great ovation. And, you know, I had been around New England a couple of weeks ago, and there's some people in New England, and I think quite a few of them, who aren't in love with Tom Brady the way they used to be. But fans really showed him love. And then I thought it was great. The first time that the Tampa Bay offensive unit came on the field, there were thunderous boos in the stadium, which is exactly how you should treat a visiting team, no matter whether Tom Brady's the quarterback or Milt Plum is. So I thought the scene was really cool last night. The other thing, Dan, that crowd stood for 3.5 hours. It was interesting to see.
Who was the big winner last night? And if I said Brady, Belichick, Mac Jones?
Mac Jones. I mean, Dan, you know, imagine what could he be thinking about? Look, his life changed forever 6 months ago when he had nothing to do with it being other than the fact he was a good quarterback. He didn't you know, hold a gun to anybody's head and say, draft me. Bill Belichick drafted him, and he came into this maelstrom, this Brady versus Belichick maelstrom. And last night, he handled the pressure. And Dan, he took 3 or 4 shots last night. Yeah. Big shots. And he just came back and he kept dunking all over the field. 19 completions in a row, obviously, at one point. Mac Jones, Dan, you know what happened last night? Both teams won that game. Because the Bucs survived a tough road game against a guy who's got the answers to all of the tests in Bill Belichick. The Bucs survived, They have major injury problems. Somehow they've got to limp through these games and find ways to win while some of these defensive players get healthy and they don't have to play Richard Sherman every snap. And so they've got to figure out a way. They did for one night. So, the Bucks are 3-1. And as Brady told me before he got on the bus to leave the stadium, he goes, listen, that's all that matters. Now what matters is me falling asleep on the plane so that when I wake up in the morning, we can worry about trying to be 4-1 next week.
I was surprised at the 4th-and-3 call.
Me too.
If Tom Brady's your quarterback, Bill Belichick is not going to settle for a 56-yard field goal in that kind of weather, right?
But, you know, what was weird about it, Dan, is and I just kept thinking about this, all right? So I don't know what Nick Foles, because they hide all their injuries, but word was last night that Nick Foles' plant leg is not 100%. It was raining hard at that point. And you're asking him to make a 56-yard field goal? I mean, the guy almost did it. He schtoinked it. But anyway, I just thought I would much rather, with a minute to go in the game, I would much rather have tried for the first down with Mac Jones. And if you get the first down, then you're in very makeable field goal position. So I was surprised, and I thought it was the wrong call by Bell.
Okay, but also factor this in. Let's say you make the field goal. I've given Brady 55 seconds, 2 timeouts. Didn't make sense at all. Even if you make it, Brady can still beat you. Why not go for it on 4th-and-3? And Mac Jones had been pretty good. He had 19 in a row, had a couple incompletions, and then it had a completion. And I just thought it would have been one of those moments in front of Brady. Not that Belichick wants to do this, but you'd be saying to your team and Mac Jones, hey, I trust you. Go out there and win.
Exactly.
Go out and win that game.
I don't think it's that big a deal for Mac Jones, you know, to have the coach say, hey, I trust you. He hasn't really earned it yet, you know, honestly. So, but you're right. The bigger issue is you're leaving Brady what would have been about 55 seconds and 2 timeouts to go, what, 35 yards to kick another, you know, a twin-winning field goal.
I don't know. We're talking to Peter King. His column, Football Morning in America, is available right now. What do the Steelers do?
I'll tell you, Dan, I didn't see their game yesterday, but, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble. And I think the main trouble comes from the simple fact that, you know, okay, what did the Pittsburgh Steelers do in this offseason? You know, what they did in this offseason was say, we understand we've got an old quarterback, and we understand we don't have a mobile quarterback, but I'll tell you what we're going to do this year. We are going to help Ben Roethlisberger by giving him a running game and by, you know, changing up the offensive line. Well, last year, and I think I'm right in saying this, Dan, last year they were horrible running the ball, 3.6, 3.7 a carry, whatever. Well, what are they this year? They draft a running back number 1 overall, Najee Harris. And as we look at the numbers this morning, they are 3.3 yards a carry this year. They're running it worse than they ran it last year. So that plus the fact, hey, Dan, this team – for 3 consecutive weeks has not broken 17 points. You know, they've not scored over 17. So you are asking, admittedly, what's a good defense? You're asking a good defense to basically play games in the teens all year. That is simply not sustainable.
The Niners drafted Trey Lance, I think, in part because Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay healthy. And now you have this scenario playing out where he's not healthy. Now Trey Lance comes in. How do you think this plays out this year? Even though Garoppolo has played pretty well, I think, by all accounts.
I mean, Dan, there's a reason why Jimmy Garoppolo was heartbroken when the 49ers called him in March and basically said, we're probably going to take a quarterback. And he's heartbroken because this was his team, and he thought that they could recreate 2019 in 2021 and play great again. But Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, Jed York, they basically, without ever saying it, I don't even think they would say it to many people off the record, but how can you trust a quarterback who's been hurt as much as Jimmy Garoppolo has, who's played 23 of the previous 48 regular season games? I just, there's no way they could trust him. And I understand Jimmy Garoppolo once more is heartbroken after getting hurt again, but this is the reason why they decided to draft a quarterback third overall. Now, I'd say two things about Trey Lance that interest me right now. Number one, in his limited time playing, both as a runner and a thrower, he has not turned the ball over yet, and he's played a little bit in every one of the games so far. So that is encouraging. And I think the second thing is he's going to be able to get out on the edge. And I'm not saying he's going to play Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray football. But I am saying that I think he's going to be able to make more plays with his legs than Garoppolo did. And by the way, I forget who I listened to this morning very early when I was coming back to the hotel after the game last night, but they said, okay, now if you can get something for Garoppolo before the trading deadline, go ahead and do it. And I said, no, no, no. You keep your depth at quarterback when you think you're a contending team. And so the 49ers basically are going to try to win with Lance and hope that he can prove over the next few weeks that he's the quarterback of the future. If not, Shanahan will have no problem going back to Garoppolo.
Well, if Garoppolo's heart is broken, that's just another injury for him, though, Pete.
Yeah, he's on the injury report this week with parentheses broken heart, end of parentheses.
The Arizona Cardinals go into L.A., and they rough up the Rams and that great defense. Is it time to climb on the Arizona bandwagon?
Yesterday became convincing that you have to climb on their bandwagon. The two things about that game that I found so interesting. Number one, for the third straight week, Kyler Murray, who was supposed to be a good thrower, but not necessarily a pinpoint thrower, is now the first quarterback in the long history of the Cardinals franchise, Chicago, St. Louis, Arizona, to have three straight games of 75% completions. So that's one thing. But I think the other part of this is when the Arizona Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury, one of the things that they said is, look, this is not a usual NFL offense, but the one thing that this offense will do is this offense will run the ball. And so far this year, look, they've passed it just great. But they still run the ball very, very well. Dan, they're running it 31 times a game. And that's a lot of runs in today's football. So if they're running it 31 times a game and they have a quarterback playing as well as Kyler Murray and they're scoring in the 30s every week, it's going to be a tough team to beat.
Is Dallas a running team now?
No. Dallas is just like Arizona, Dallas to me is a versatile team who can pull anything out of its bag of tricks any week. And, you know, the Cowboys to me, this is the kind of team they always wanted to be. That in some week, if they needed to throw it 45 times they could. If they need to run it 40 times, they can do that too. And I think it also helps, especially in a 17-game season, to have a two-headed rushing monster, you know, like Elliott and Pollard give you.
Yeah, I agree. I mentioned this at the top of the show. I wonder if those questions to Brian Flores in Miami start to heat up a little bit with Deshaun Watson? And I know Brian Flores is not going to answer it, but I don't know. It just feels like losing that game. Jacoby Brissett against a banged-up Colts team. You're at home. You lose by double digits. Do you think that that trade talk starts to heat up at all this week?
I think it depends on how hot it gets for Flores and for Chris Greer. I think the Miami Dolphins at 1-3, especially with a double-digit loss to a winless team at home, you know, they can't, no matter who plays quarterback for them, they're not playing well on offense. Dan, I think that as much as you never want to make a panic move, and I don't suggest that they make this panic move. I think Stephen Ross is going to start to get very impatient very soon.
Yeah, I agree. Great stuff as always, Pete. Thank you again for joining us, and safe travels.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You take care.
That's Peter King. Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com. And sleep-deprived, I'm sure. I don't even know if he's been to bed. That's why, you know, when Fritzy said, hey, do you want to have Peter on? I said, well, he's probably going to stay up all night to write his column, and we might get him peak morning with some coffee, and then he'll probably fall asleep on the train ride back to New York. So we went with the poll question, McLovin, on who had the better night last night.
Yeah, who felt like the winner last night? We'll start with that. Then we have a lot of NFL questions, and we have one super controversial college football / NFL question.
I tune into Georgia and Arkansas because I listen to Paulie, and Paulie goes, hey, Arkansas, and I go, okay. And then I started watching. I go, nope, not okay. That Georgia front was the best defensive line I saw this weekend, and that included the NFL. That whole front, those are all first-round draft picks. I felt bad for Arkansas. That Georgia front is crazy great. Crazy great. I don't know how good the team is, but I do know that defensive front is as good as any defensive front I've seen. All right, we'll take a break. Your phone calls are coming up. We got our play of the day up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The play. The play is called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
We're gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Pistol, shortened shotgun with a back behind Lance. He rides the mesh point, gonna pull it now and throw down the right sideline, wide open, Deebo Samuel! He catches it 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
Deebo Samuel getting the party started for Trey Lance.
That's courtesy of KNBR. That's his first pass. 76-yard touchdown throw to Deebo Samuel. Lance is the first quarterback in the last 30 years to have his first two career completions go for touchdowns. Not sure it's worthy of play of the day, but... Marvin picked it. Marvin is a Niners fan, and he's sleep-deprived because he worked the sidelines for last night's game with the Patriots and the Buccaneers. He was one of the sound guys, so he's holding those microphones there. And he was in the presence of Tom Brady.
Tom.
Play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Panini, the hottest rookies, the biggest superstars, the old-time greats. Only one place to collect them all. Panini trading cards for instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, the hottest rookie cards. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Got our poll question? That was our play of the day. We got a stat of the day coming up, and we got your phone calls. John in California leads us off. John, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Glad to be on the show today. I got a question for you afterwards. My best of the weekend was that Buster Posey of the Giants got his 1,500th hit to pass a milestone. My worst was that Brandon Crawford, the shortstop, has not already been selected as the National League MVP. Question for you, Dan. They're changing the rules in baseball for the playoffs. Saturday, the Giants lost with the ghost runner that they put on second base, and he scored the winning run. I understand that in the playoffs, they're not doing the ghost runner, Dan.
Yep, I know. I look, I'm not big on the ghost runner. I'm not big on seven innings for doubleheaders. But baseball's trying. Yeah, McLovin.
Actually, I don't like that rule, but I didn't know it was called the ghost runner. That's super cool. Now I'm a little into it. The ghost runner.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a movie?
Yeah.
Nick Cage stars in The Ghost Runner. We still got to get Nick Cage on. Where's my pig? Are we still in the mix for Nick Cage, Fritzy?
We are. We did not get to know this conversation's happening.
Okay.
There are conversations.
I got to talk to him about the movie The Pig.
Give me back my pig.
I want my pig back.
Pig 2?
Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. Best and worst of the weekend.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Al.
Best of the weekend is everybody's calling the time of death on the Raiders. No, Raiders, not Raiders. Oh, my God. On the Ravens, 100-yard rushing game.
Yeah.
What do the Ravens do? They get an interception, and Harbaugh sends out the offense not to kneel it out, but to get the 3 yards needed to keep the streak alive. That's what winners do, Dan. And speaking of winners, my worst. The Falcons are now the new Chargers, not just in the NFC, but the entire NFL, because the Chargers are now winning.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm watching the Ravens game, and they got in the victory formation, and I thought, okay, this game is over. And then they ran to get the record so they would have 100 yards rushing now in, 43 consecutive games, and they've tied the Steelers of the early to mid-70s. I have so many other things to worry about. Like, there are people who are mad. There are other things that I could be mad about, angry about, upset about. But the Ravens getting 100 yards rushing against the Broncos, that's not on the list. Not on the list of the top 10,000 things that I could be mad about today. I know Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach, he threw down his headset. He couldn't believe the victory formation and you're running. And all right. Okay. There's other things to worry about. Sometimes when you watch sports anger, you're going, okay, in the moment, this seems like a really big deal. And then after, you go, man, you really have to get that upset? But it's still one of those moments where you go, okay, did the Ravens get it? Is it hollow? It's like, Michael Strahan getting the sack against Brett Favre. Oh, you can't believe Favre, you did disservice to the Shield. Like, whatever. There's other things to be concerned about. Jason in Florida joins us. Jason, best and worst of the weekend.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Jason.
Hey, so I got a best and another best for you because, like you just said, there's so much to worry about. Let's just be positive today. So my first best, I'm going to shout out baseball. Yesterday, you had four teams going into the last game of the season within a game of each other. You basically had four playoff games all happening at the same time yesterday. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I know it was a football Sunday, but I couldn't help but keep checking it out. Like, I was captivated. It was awesome. I love that MLB scheduled them all at the same time. I thought it was really cool. So that's my first one. My second best, How about my Giants? Daniel Jones, call me crazy, but is he good? He's looking good.
I was surprised. Of all the outcomes yesterday, I'm watching that, and I go, we were talking on Friday. I'm like, the Giants could start out 0-10. And then I'm watching, I'm going, when are the Saints going to act like the Saints? And, you know, give the Giants credit. And Daniel Jones throw for 400 yards, and I never saw that one happening. By the way, is Jameis Winston still a dark horse for MVP? Just curious. Biggest overreactions. Were we wrong about the Packers being blown out by the Saints? The Steelers beat the Bills? The Ravens losing overtime to the Raiders? Cowboys lost to the Buccaneers? That wasn't an overreaction. But, yeah, we kind of overreacted. Yeah, McLovin.
How about which oft-criticized coach were we wrong about? Cliff Kingsbury or Mike McCarthy? And I'm not saying you criticize him, but the world criticized, especially Cliff.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's reason to criticize Cliff. He hasn't done anything. But that team is doing what you want a good team, great team to do. But they had a hot start last year. And you beat the Rams. Who do they have next? They have Seattle next, I think. Does that sound right, McLovin?
Rams are at Seattle Thursday night.
Oh, Rams at Seattle. Okay. Russell Wilson, the fastest to 100 wins in NFL history?
Cardinals host the Niners.
Niners, there you go. I knew it was interdivision. But they did what you wanted a good team to do. You beat the Rams. You beat them in Los Angeles. That's a really good defense. And you ran the football on them. Mike McCarthy, I still don't know. I just don't know. And a lot of this comes down to, in the moment, do you make the right call? And as great as Bill Belichick is, I think he made the wrong call on 4th and 3 with just under a minute to go. Because even if you kick it, Tom Brady still gets the ball back with 55 seconds to go and 2 timeouts. I don't like the math. 4th and 3, I like it. That way we run the clock down. We are in better shape with the field goal. I got a kicker, as Peter King mentioned. His plant leg might not have been 100%. It's in the rain. No, don't like that at all. In fact, somebody asked Bill Belichick the question about why he did not go for it. We'll have that for you coming up, top of the hour. More phone calls as well, and our best and worst of the weekend.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.